of visitation again yesterday and had a really good day. Levi and I actually knocked on Anime Wilcher's door and had a little conversation with her. She was expressing, oh, I need to get in church. I need to get in church. Said, yeah, you do. I said, if you don't come, I'm gonna sick Patricia on you. So we had a good laugh at that. But I told her, I was like, we're right here. We'd love to have you. I said, now, I'm going to be there tomorrow. If I don't see you, I'm going to have Patricia come get you. She thought that was pretty funny.
I think about Luke, too, and Shania, and everything on her own.
Right.
You getting along?
Yeah. He said he has had a lot of opportunities with people, so just pray for the different ones, and then also a safe trip back.
Amen.
So have you guys gotten to talk pretty regular?
Yeah, through text or the WhatsApp.
That WhatsApp's great.
Thankfully, he was able to, his charger was inside his bag that got taken, and so, but somebody ended up letting him borrow one, so he was able to charge up his phone and stuff.
I'm not aware. His bag got stolen?
Yeah, with his laptop and Bible with it.
Well, at least he stole a Bible. Maybe they'll read it and get convicted. Amen. If they open that computer, I'm sure they're going to get inundated with the gospel. They ain't going to want that thing.
I think it's fingerprint. You have to use your fingerprint or your face recognition to get into it. So.
Amen. We'll pray about that. Yeah, but.
Donnie and I went out yesterday morning again, and we had a couple of, normal type visits that you have. But then the last place we went was, we pulled up in the drive and nobody was there. We started to walk back to the car, and the truck pulls up, and three big fellas got out, and one kid. And
two kids.
They live there, and actually it was a brother's house, but they were six, the sect up here at Gurdwara, and they were very nice, invited us in and gave us juice and nuts and, the hospitality, that's the way they are. And anyway, we had a very good visit with them and talked to them for about an hour on the difference between their religion and our religion and, why they need a religion that will guarantee them heaven and that has a savior. And anyway, at the very end, I don't know why I hadn't thought about it, and I don't normally use it, but I said there's only two religions in the world, I said one is due and the other is done. I don't know who said that originally. I think it was Billy Sunday or Moody, but anyway, and I said, in other words, one of them, or all the other religions in the world, you have to do something, work for it, try to be good and all, and we had just gone over that a lot.
Right.
And I said, true religion is the one where it's all done for you. Jesus paid it all, and, they don't know the song, so. But, and I just said, so the difference is, ours is done.
Yeah.
We don't have to do anything to go to heaven. It's just who we trust in, that he did it. Everything else is due. So when we left, he goes, now I know. One is do and the other is don't do. And I said, yeah, you got it. I never heard that before. I like it. One is do and the other is don't do. But it was good. And here's the interesting thing. He actually got out his phone and said, give me your number. Give me your number. I want to get in touch with you again. I want to talk to you again. So gave him my number, and then he texted me with his name. And I just texted him back and thanked him for his hospitality and the opportunity to talk with him and all that, and said I would enjoy getting with him together again. And he texted me back and said, definitely. So we'll see how it goes. We're just praying. His name was Virender. I think it is.
Virender
Singh. His nickname is Vinny.
Let's go with Vinny.
Vinny, yes. But...
So, just thinking, you kind of sparked a memory. I was talking to Travis this week after the tent meeting one night, and was really good. We was only there, we would be there Monday and Tuesday and Friday. But just, you think, you know, and he even pointed this out, you know, as Christians, why do we need to hear the gospel? Because it reinvigorates us. It reminds us of what Christ did for us. And then that ought to inspire us to want Christ to see, you know, that in other people's lives. Just absolutely love the messages. And but was talking with Travis, and Travis asked the question, because he's really been burdened for Lexi, his child's mother. And he's like, why is it so hard for people to believe the gospel? It's so simple. So why was it so hard for you to believe?
Yeah.
I mean, if you answer that question,
yes,
you'll understand.
Right.
The Bible says it's easier for a rich man to pass through the eye of a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Why is that? It's not hard to understand. I mean, the gospel is pretty simple. But the human condition, sin, pride, we don't want to give up. We don't want to let go. We don't trust God. I'll do it. I can do it. I got it. I mean, that really what it boils down to is just exactly what you're talking about. It's just letting go and putting your faith in Christ, the finished work of Christ, and just trusting. That's a very hard thing to do. It took me 30-some years, and I was raised in it my whole life. You know, but I had to come to a point where I finally understood that there's nothing I could do. I'd done it all. I had done everything I could do, and then finally reached the point of frustration and said, well, I guess it's just not for me. I'm going to go do all the other stuff. And then got to the end of that road, and then I'm finally just like, I can't commit suicide. What else is there? God finally got a hold of my heart, revealed to me that that's the point. There's nothing you can do. It's all about what I did for you. Let go. Trust me. I heard a guy say it one time, a lot of people believe in God. How many people believe God? And that's it. Do you believe God? Trust him implicitly, completely letting go and resting in his salvation. Amen. Is it good to be saved?
Amen.
Isn't it good to know I'm going to walk out of this building today, some way, somehow, I'm going to mess it up? It doesn't change anything. Now, I don't want to do that, but it has no bearing on my salvation. I'm saved. I'm in his hand. Nothing's going to change that. No man's going to pluck me out, including myself. Because he did it. It's all on him. I love that. I loved hearing that again this week. It just reaffirms in my heart, thank you, Lord, for rescuing me out of that misery. Because I spent a lot of years trying to live a Christian life. Wondering, looking at people like you and thinking, why can't I? Why does it seem like they just have this joy? They're up there hooping and hollering, amen, and praising the Lord. I don't get that. I feel like such a phony if I did that. Now I sit in the print tent meeting, amen, every other word.
Amen.
If he said he had to tie his shoes, I was amen. Because I get it now. Sorry, that's not the message, but praise the Lord. I love being saved. And I love the fact that I didn't have to do anything to be saved except believe him.
Amen.
And trust him. And I trust him every day. I trust him more and more every day. Every day he reveals to me, just trust me. I got this. It's amazing, the more I trust him, it's not so much that things get easier, they just get easier to deal with.
Yeah.
Because you just see the bigger picture. If the car breaks down, it's not a big deal. If I lose my job, it's not a big deal. He cared for me, right? I hope, I'm encouraged. I hope y'all are encouraged.
So, amen, brother.
It's just good to be saved. If you're not, if you're sitting there like I was, I've sat in these pews, not since we've been at this church, but other churches, I've sat in them pews and been like, what's he talking about? Why do I have to try so hard to have what seems to be so natural to him? If you're sitting there, you're exactly where I was. And a lot of other people have been too. Especially people that were raised in church. Gospel hardened is what I've heard it referred to. You've heard it so much that you've become numb to it. It's not religion. It's not put on. It's just the joy of the Lord. I encourage you, if you feel that way, talk to me. Talk to somebody. Get it straightened out. Because that's a miserable place to be. I'm telling you right now. I look back on that period of my life. I was more miserable there than I was out in the world sinning to the hilt. Because that was very natural. Now, I'm not saying I was happy in that. I'm just saying I was more miserable here trying to be something that I wasn't. Mm-hmm. Trying to live something I didn't have. So, when you really get it, I heard Brother Wilbur Hurt, I don't know if any of you guys are familiar with him, but he was our pastor when I was a young kid. A guy told him one time, he said, I'd get saved if I thought I could live it. Wilbur looked at him and said, you get saved and it'll live you. That's truth.
Amen.
That's it right there. So, anyways, prayer request.
There was a lady, her name's Vicki. She works at the school in Acton. It's Tiffany Vulture's aunt. I can't think of the last name, but she's living in that little white house across the street.
Okay.
Along with all the streets around there. And her name's Vicki, and she's got her grandson that lives with her. And I don't know what, I've known her for a while. But I'm guilty not to know exactly what her faith is or exactly what her belief is. But I'm on a visitation list. And also, Luann Cox, and I got to get, I don't know if I mentioned it already, but Luann Cox lives on Main Street at the end of Acton where Regis Court used to be. Turn right and go down the Shutout House and right. But I got to get that address. But Luann Cox is another one that's looking for a church.
Testimony of salvation there?
She's definitely saved. Okay. I've known her since she was young.
Okay.
With my sister's best friend. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. We meet all kinds of people out on visitation that know you. It's all being good, sister. You can't hardly go anywhere in this town that's not a wheelchair or somebody that knows Sister Patricia. Excuse me, I'm trying to find my glasses. Oh, they're in my pocket. Good place for them, I think. No, they're not. I think I've forgotten my glasses.
Uh-oh.
That's a bad thing. Yep.
Or is it on the thing back there? Is that your glasses?
No, that's a remote. Oh, we'll make do without. But, yeah, I mean, everybody in this town knows you. Like I said, we stopped and... What's that?
Probably related.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked to, now I just misplaced her name. I just said it 5 minutes ago.
Anna.
Anna May, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she's a hoot. Says, I'm 87 years old and I still want to mow my own lawn. I said, praise the Lord, amen. I wish you'd get some of these 17-year-olds that want to mow your lawn. But she was a treat. We enjoyed talking with her. So, any other requests or praises?
Yes, I have a customer this week. Her husband passed away, and interestingly, she's like in her 80s, and she wants to be cutting her grass, and everybody's trying to keep her from cutting her grass.
Yeah.
So, just pray for her. She's kind of lonely, but we talk about the rapture, and she's looking forward to seeing the Lord.
Is her name?
I don't have her name.
Okay. We'll just call her Rob's friend. Yeah, I tell you what, that older generation, I remember growing up, we had a lady next door. Her name was Eileen. school was over. She would not come out of the house without her hair done proper. I mean, she'd come out to do yard work with her makeup on, hair done, dressed to the nines. You never saw her out of place. And she had a great deal of pride in her appearance. And up to the day they put her in the hospital and she passed away a few weeks later. I'd offer her more grass and it wouldn't happen. She was mowing her own grass. And we could use some of that. So, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer for these things and then we'll get into today's topic. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for, Lord, being here with us, Lord, that we can be here together, Lord, gathered together. And Lord, just a spirit of unity, God, we just desire to please you and honor you. And Lord, we pray that you would just meet mightily with us today, Lord. And just since there's a very good spirit, Lord, and I know in my heart, Father, there's just much joy. And Lord, I pray that that would be infectious. God, I pray that if there's anyone here today struggling, Lord, that God, that they would just be given victory over that, Lord, and that they could experience the joy of their salvation. If they're not saved, Lord, I pray that you would impress upon their heart, God, just the reality of that and their need to get saved. Just believe the gospel, Father. Such a simple thing, Father, but it's so difficult for us to just trust you. Lord, I pray that we would learn to trust you just more and more every day, Father. God, I pray that you would just bless this class today, Lord. That, Lord, I pray that I would just be a vessel, Father, that would just, Lord, just inspire your people, Father, that they would just desire to learn more about you, to learn more about, Lord, what it is we do here, our faith and everything about you, Father, and just the desire to reach the lost world with the gospel, to grow in, Lord, our knowledge of Scripture. Lord, I just pray that you would just be pleased and honored by all that we do. In your precious and holy name, amen. I'm sorry, I didn't even pray one of those prayer requests. Lord knows. But we are going to get into the lesson. But before we go too far over the first lesson, there was a phrase in that first lesson that we read. It was liberty of conscience. And when I first went through this book, preparing for this class, first time I read that chapter, that phrase, liberty of conscience, man, it just jumped off the page at me. I couldn't stop thinking about it. And since then, I have thought about liberty of conscience a lot, had discussions with people. My wife and I discussed it. This was talking about it this morning and just had an interesting it's good to hear other people's points of view on things. Pastor and I talked about it briefly this morning, and he challenged me with something. It's like, wow, I just hadn't even thought about that like that. You know, it is, you could chew on that for the rest of your life. I'm telling you, it's a very deep topic that affects every aspect of our life. And I think we treat it way too passively. Our forefathers, I don't believe, did. I believe that it was at the core of everything that they were trying to do. And it is at the very heart of the gospel. Liberty of conscience is at the very heart of the gospel. So what is liberty of conscience? Anybody want to offer a definition? It doesn't have to be the Webster's Dictionary definition, just briefly explain in your own words what you think liberty of conscience is. Anybody? Is that your hand? If it wasn't, that's fine. I just thought you were raising your hand. Okay. Sister?
Is it liberty of conscience? Is that like what, you know, like before you do something, you have that conscience, you know, to not do that because, you know, it's
going to
be wrong or whatever.
Okay, yeah. Brother?
So, I say liberty of conscience is, as opposed to living by a strict set of rules like the church sets forth, like do's and don'ts, as you read the Word of God, you come up, you're led by the Holy Spirit and you're allowed the liberty
Well, let me ask you a question. The way you just explained it is the lost person that's never even seen a Bible, do they exercise liberty of conscience?
Yes. His conscience is, you know, with knowledge. They're going by the knowledge they have, but as us as members of churches, we describe conscience. Our knowledge is of the scriptures. Theirs is just of the flesh. It's, you know, they're basically living out the desires of their heart or whatever they reason in their mind. When we say with knowledge or our conscience, it's what we've found from the Word of God and being led by the Holy Spirit. So it's different, but also the same, if that makes sense.
So basically,
with whatever knowledge you have.
Right. So whatever defines your moral center.
Right. And if you're talking about a lost person, that can be way off center. If, you know, if you don't have God to tell you what's right and wrong, and the only thing you have is what you know, like God to put into you, and that can be, you know, really skewed. But if you have, you know, scripture being led by the Holy Spirit, you should, for the most part, have the same conscious above among believers.
Okay. Any other thoughts? Any thoughts on what Kyle said? So, brother?
Well, this thought occurred to me. I hadn't fully developed, but.
Good, that's the idea.
Liberty of conscience could mean the liberty to follow the dictates of our own conscience. Mm-hmm. But the Bible does mention consciences that are seared, and it mentions different things about our conscience. And our conscience can be developed by us depending on what we choose to look at, hear, see, believe, etc. So liberty of conscience, couldn't that also be the freedom to develop our own conscience or to believe what we want to believe? And like you said, opposed to being forced into, coerced into a certain doctrine or set of rules or dogma?
Yeah, I mean, just you said a couple things there that just sparked some new thoughts in my mind, you know. Brother, yeah.
I mean, just for like example, talking about the abortion thing, I think most people, if like, they don't have their conscience seared by people talking to them throughout their life, I think that just the little that they have in them, they'll know something like that is wrong, but it can be easily changed. So different people living by their conscience can have very different worldviews of what's okay, what's not. Some people, you know, probably even say murder's okay, and some it's like for, you know, payback or whatever. Some people don't even believe in death penalty, things like that. So living by your conscience, depending on your environment, for one, that can be radically changed. And like I said, I think that's why we all should have kind of the kind of same rule book.
So consciousness is awareness, right? I mean, that's basically the definition of consciousness. It's awareness. Aware, you know, if a person is conscious, they're aware of their surroundings. So we are conscious, so we have awareness. So when we exercise our conscience, we're exercising our right to choose, to make choices. So what affects the choices we make? Our morality. What's that?
So, well, conscience actually is two words, con and science. It's actually with knowledge. Yeah, so we affect our conscience based on what we know.
Right.
Conscience just means
But what you know shapes your morality.
Correct.
Or what you don't know. In a sense. I mean, would you, well, I mean, if you have a thought, I mean, if this is a discussion. This
morality is an interesting thing. Like John said, you can sear your conscience. I think every one of us has a certain set of born morals, no matter where we find ourselves. The self-preservation side, the caring for things. I mean, you have people that are weep over a dog that got hit by a car. You know what I mean? Why? Because they care about life. They care about those things. And so in the general, we think in a sense we have somewhat of a code of morality, but that can be altered based on what we are exposed to. And abuse, maybe, you know, can really affect that.
So if we took a baby born, that, I mean, the minute it's born, locked it in a room.
And
died. Well, yeah, for I've read those studies too, but for the sake of this argument or this discussion, if we put that baby in a room and it had, you know, we tended to its physical needs, food, water, yada, 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 but did not influence that baby in its growth process, you know, like as mothers and fathers, we teach our children, you know, share, your kindness, someone else, obedience. If we didn't teach that child anything, would that child develop a sense of moral right and wrong? Well, and that's a product of the environment that child was subjected to. So I guess the point I'm trying to get at is, did God put within us,
yeah,
right,
the good angel, bad angel mentality isn't based on religion. That's the fight within man.
Right.
The sinful nature compared to how God made us.
There's something that causes us to question,
yeah. You
know, Even a lost person, when they see a travesty, you know, against humanity, knows there's something not right about that.
Right.
You know, a lost person that would see a child abused, that does something to them. They know that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's not just because they've been raised to feel that way.
Right.
It's because that's God has put it within us to question these things. So the point of that whole thing is that every man is culpable because God has revealed himself, if not by supernatural, then by natural revelation. Like she said, no man is without excuse. So the argument of is a person that hasn't heard the gospel, are they guilty? Well, yes. Because they haven't been locked in a room without any interaction whatsoever, right? You're born into this world, God revealed himself by natural revelation and by supernatural revelation. This is supernatural revelation. So the whole liberty of conscience thing as it pertains to that thought, every man is given the choice to exercise the dictates of his own conscience. Like you said, what you know. Does everyone know? Can everyone look at the world, the natural world, and not come into question? I mean, if you look at every civilization throughout history, they looked at the world, and because of that, they knew that there had to be some creator. Right? Any civilization left to itself has come to the conclusion that there is some form of deity, right? So we're without excuse. So the whole liberty of conscience thing, the question is, what is the opposite of liberty of conscience? If liberty of conscience is you deciding what you're going to do or not going to do, based upon the dictates of your conscience, which you know, then what is the opposite of that?
Dictatorship, authoritarian control.
Compulsory.
Yeah.
We just went through this. COVID. was an argument. There was those that said, you need to wear a mask. It doesn't matter how you feel. Forget your freedoms. You need to wear a mask. That's compulsory. Then there's those that said, hey, my body, my choice. Right?
Right.
Well, what are they doing now? They're tripping all over themselves. Because now it's my body, my choice. You see the flip-flop. This whole thing, this whole thought of liberty of conscience is at the heart. Because here's the thing. If I tell you, so like the discussion that Christy and I got into this morning was kind of centered around abortion. And then it's funny, I had the same conversation with the pastor, got a whole new perspective just, you know, based on his thoughts, and it was like, wow, I never thought about it like that. But do I have the right or the responsibility to restrain a woman from having an abortion? Who would agree with that? Do we have a responsibility to restrain women from having an abortion?
Restraint to me is force.
Okay.
I don't know, Jim.
By law. Not physically, but by law. Well, I guess that would eventually become physical, but by law, do we have a responsibility to restrain women from having an abortion? And you can apply this to anything. Do we have the responsibility to restrain, insert the situation? Right? Do we have a responsibility to restrain people from doing drugs? Legally? By law?
By law.
Okay. Do we have, like in China, so China goes the opposite route. They have the compulsory, you know, they have the population problem, so you have so many kids and then you got to abort the rest, right? Whether you want to or not. Right? Did they lift that? Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty recent.
But at one point in time, they did have that, right? So what if we did that? What if by law, you're only allowed two kids, if you get pregnant again, it's an abortion? What if we're facing overpopulation? I'm just asking you these questions because I want you to start thinking about. And like, and this is where that conversation with the pastor kind of led me. Where you start is very important because where you start is going to kind of help determine where you end.
Right.
So if we have a responsibility, and I'll be honest with you, this morning when I got here, I had my mind made up on this. Since I'm not saying my mind is completely changed, but I am definitely considering what I've heard. So if we have, do you have a responsibility to restrain a 3-year-old from sticking a fork in a light socket?
Yeah.
No.
No.
No, you can't. The parents should care enough to teach that kid. Let him get shot. My brother got shot for a good time. Do we have a responsibility to make sure everybody eats right and not obese? We have a responsibility that their windows are grass. We have a responsibility to keep their hair cut. I mean, no. Every man's responsible. They're a responsible moral agent on their own. As long as what they do doesn't trample on my freedoms.
So what if I wire the kid up to 120 in a variable transformer?
You're doing it to him. Can't do it.
Right. Now I'm trampling on his rights. Brother John?
Well, I was going to ask you a minute ago when you were talking. I think at one point you said legally, and I wasn't sure. If you say, do we have a legal responsibility to do certain things, like to keep a woman from having an abortion like that? Or because legally it changes things. Under the law, if we are supposed to obey the laws of the land, there are certain things we're compelled to do. There are certain things we have a responsibility to do. But the law and the moral law, or God's law, conflict. Because we know that, obviously, a lot of laws are not according to the Bible. Because some people say you are morally bound to do this, and so, and others say you're legally bound to do this, and the two don't always agree.
Well, what I was meaning is to constrain by law. The law is the instrument of constraint. And of course, when you have law, you then have penalty. Pastor preached a message a while back about is it a sin to run to run to, is it a sin to speed?
To speed. That's some interesting feedback on that.
I thought about that a lot. Is it a sin to run a stoplight? I still go back and forth on that, you know. So you just one of the things that I thought about. As I read through my Constitution and Bill of Rights. You know, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights makes no law restraining you.
Yeah.
Not one. It's all about restraining the government.
Yeah.
It's all about protecting your freedom of conscience. Your right to pursue your life as you please, so long as you do not infringe upon the rights of another individual. So again, I ask the question, do we have a responsibility to restrain women from having an abortion? Should a woman have the right to have an abortion? Does she have the right to have an abortion?
No, because the baby, the infant, has their rights.
Okay.
So
whose job is it to secure those rights for that child?
Well, basically, it's the parent, but if the parent is going to inflict harm upon the child, then the child has to go into the hands of God, which should be the government that oversees and provides the laws to protect that child.
Okay, so this is where the pastor got me, and I got to do the same thing to you.
Okay.
So what I said, where you start is very important because it's going to determine where you end.
Does it break God's law?
Well, so if we intervene because we believe that you are infringing upon the rights of that child by aborting it, what if I believe that you're infringing upon the rights of that child by teaching them the Bible?
Well,
and I need to protect that child from you because you're insane.
Well, that is the parent's job to teach the Bible to children. If the child is invited by a friend to a church and hears and comes to their own conclusion, they can take that home to their parents and voice their own opinion to the parents, and maybe the parents will listen to the child and become saved, which has happened.
But this is where you start getting into spherical authority.
Yeah.
Where, who has authority where? Well, God has supreme authority, but God has ordained certain authorities in certain areas. Like the family is an authority. The church is an authority. The government is an authority. Each one has their respective roles and responsibilities. But when one starts interfering with the affairs of the other, it becomes problematic. Because where do you draw the line? What if the government, as is, they're starting to classify us as enemies of the state because of what we believe. Now our children, they have a responsibility from their point of view to protect our children from us. Because we're crazy and we're teaching them to be
Christian.
Well, yeah.
The Bible.
Right. Brother?
I guess my argument is that would be, you know, every parent has the right to raise their child and teach them things they believe are right or wrong. Saying you can't raise your child that way and killing your child is because you know the law, you cannot kill somebody, you cannot kill anyone, regardless of whether they're in your home or in your government or where they're stationed at in life. Killing someone and teaching them something is two different things.
Okay, so basically we're touching on the principle of stewardship. So mother gets pregnant, she's a steward of that life, right? While it's in her womb and while she's raising it, right? So she's a steward. I would say by that same principle that some of us based on that logic, would have no court or no ground to argue if someone came into our life and said, hey, you're not using your finances properly. I'm going to take that away from you. You're abusive to your car. I don't think you manage. You don't change your oil enough, Sister Nancy, and I just can't handle that. So I, as a man that knows how a vehicle needs to be taken care of, I am going to take that, and you're going to do what I say. I'm going to take care of that car. You see, this argument, if you want to call it that, it gets very complicated. But it is very necessary that we think about these things. Because it is at the fundamental core of salvation. Can we force people to get saved?
I'll fundamentally disagree with how you raise your kids, but I still say you can't kill them because that's a totally different thing.
Are you comparing a life to a car or your finances?
I'm comparing principles.
So with that vein, I see what you're saying, but if a parent has right to raise their children according to the conscience, their dictates of their conscience, then that's, and I agree with that. Has God given another sphere authority over their authority? Does that make sense?
I understand what you're saying.
I'm just asking.
Yeah, you're actually going to understand, but yes, when you see the law, you know, that's not like, God didn't say, I mean, there's like a punishment, like death punishment, but God didn't say, like, you know, thou shalt not kill, except for the circumstances. Thou shalt kill. It doesn't matter whether it's your brother, your son, your mom, or a stranger. It's like, thou shalt kill, period. And that blankets everything.
Right.
And of course, there's obvious exceptions like punishment, and then there's, you know, wars.
The abortion issue is interesting because you have the difference between, you go to a clinic and you're going for the purpose of, you know, having a baby again. But then my thing I suggested was, does that mean if a woman goes on a roller coaster, which we know ultimately will abort, personally miscarried, cause a miscarriage, a baby, then now does she go to jail for that? And what if she eats the wrong foods? Does she go to jail for that? So at what level of the mom was irresponsible when her baby died? At where is the level of now she's criminally culpable and liable?
I think that would boil down to...
Is it man that decides that? Is that what we're going to put that in the government's hands? You want the government coming to you saying, I'm sorry, your wife miscarried, and I believe she's at fault because I know she did this.
Well, even in times of the law, they did have, like, you know, good for the reason, basically, like a trial or whatever, determine some things.
I know.
Like, even in cases of, like, rape and things like that in the law, if there's some witnesses, whatever. Well, if they have them in the city or out in the field or whatever, things like that. So I think there would be, it would come down to whether the person was.
That's
the
society you
want to
live in.
Innocent until proven guilty.
So,
the society we live in now, if you murder somebody, it's like, did I do something that was totally ignorant and kill somebody, or whether it was like, I meant to kill them?
So, here's the thing, just watching this. This is where liberty of conscience is so extremely important, because we are not all going to agree.
Yeah.
Let God be true and every man a liar. Doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't really matter what you think.
Right.
It matters what God thinks. And that needs to be the focal point in exercising our liberty of conscience. Because at the end of the day, abortion, I hate it. I think it's absolutely wicked, horrible. I do not agree with it, and I don't think it ought to be done.
Yeah.
But do I have the right to stop a woman from doing that? Do I think we ought to have abortion clinics? Absolutely not. Do I think my tax dollars ought to support that? Absolutely not. Do I think if a woman has an abortion in her home, that it's if her and her husband decide to, by whatever means they choose to do that, do I think that's right? No. Do I think it's wicked? Yes.
Whose job is it to judge it? Is it man's
right.
job or is it God's job? I would say it's God's.
Absolutely.
Not my judgment.
So how do you apply the difference between that and murder anybody else, like post-room?
Right. you see where this is so, I mean, we have been lulled to sleep. We don't think about these things. Or we may at some level, but we don't talk about them without getting offended,
right.
Strife. We need to be able to talk about these things without, I'm right, you're wrong. No. Let me hear your point of view. Because you know what, it may be that, you know, God's revealed something to you that I have not yet learned. I don't yet know that will affect my conscience. Yes, sir.
So, when you go back to the conscience part, and you're talking about knowledge and intent. Mm-hmm. So, if a person has no knowledge of the consequences of their action, you know, that's one thing. But if you have that knowledge and you fail maybe to teach, like, you know, the scripture says, train up a child. You know, God says you should train that child. You should give them all that information. You know, so they have the knowledge to make that conscious decision. So that their intentions are based on truth. And, you know, because, I mean, there's a lot of nonsense going on out there. You know, people are believing a lie. And a person's intention, a lot of times, is based on their knowledge of a certain situation. So if you don't have all the facts, you can't make a good judgment. I mean, you can't make a decision based on truth and knowledge and facts, then,
Yeah, I think I get what you're saying, but my response to that would be, we've been drawn to this place where we are addressing everything from a intellectual standpoint, and not, thus saith the Lord.
And do we want thought police like we ever have?
Right. And that's where this, and again, that's where this whole, them talking about protecting women's health care rights. You know, give me a break. You don't care, Chuck Schumer don't care about your health care rights.
Right.
He does not care. That's all a manipulation. Or somebody desires power. And that leads to thought police, right? Where the help me out, the verse. Where the
discerner of
the law. No, the law of liberty, or the where the law of the Lord is, there is liberty. Yeah, I'm sorry, I had it this morning. But the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Yes.
Okay? We need to stop trying to change people's minds and give them the gospel in hopes that it will change their heart. And then you will see a change in their liberty, their exercise of their liberty of conscience. You're not going to stop abortion at the ballot box.
To study the Old Testament law in reference to if a guy, I think Shekhar mentioned, if there was a potential rape situation, a guy abuses a female in the field, she doesn't cry out, right? That's one thing. Cries out is another, but if she loses her baby over that, he's liable, right? But I've not found anywhere in the Bible a law where she loses her baby because of her own negligence, and she's liable. I don't see it. And I think the reason is, how do you judge that? How? That's why I think you have to say, it's not mine to judge what comes.
Well, that's where the...
It's different if someone takes a club and hits a woman's stomach. Okay. How do you judge her intent?
Well, that's where Christy and I was talking this morning, and you know, I was talking about the law has to be a living thing. It has to be able to change. Because she was talking about, you know, we were dealing with a rule in our house, and she was, I like black and white, I like things, blah, 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 and this is the way it is. I was like, well, that's fine until you realize that a mistake's been made. like the Supreme Court with Roe versus Wade. If the decision was final, then a bad decision is a final decision. So you have to leave room for decisions to be changed, because sometimes bad decisions are made, such as the case was in our house. I had made a decision to change a rule. It wasn't the rule, the change of the rule that was bad, it was the way I went about it. I just arbitrarily decided, I'm the man, we're changing the rule. That doesn't go over very well.
Man.
So, but you know what? I love the fact that my wife stood her ground, and in that discussion, we both came to understand a great truth. And that was a wonderful thing. The point is, one second, and then we're going to have to wrap up. Really, all my desire today was to get you all thinking. Because this is an important topic. And it is at the heart of our study. Because it is the heart of our nation and at the heart of your salvation. And it is very important that we get back to being sober-minded and serious like our forefathers were when they founded this nation on that principle. Because when you understand the whole, and not saying that I fully understand it, but I'm trying to, but when you begin to understand the whole concept of liberty of conscience, it will change the way you husband, wife,
right,
father, church member, pastor, it will change you and how you deal with people. It will change how you witness to lost people. It will change the discussions that you get into with lost people and saved people. Because at the end of the day, I might not agree with you, Brother Kyle, but I love you and I respect your right to exercise your liberty of conscience just like I want you to respect mine.
Yeah.
I really want you guys to think about this going forward in this class, because I think it will really impact you and really just increase your desire to understand our Baptist history, because it's at the root of the whole thing. Real quick, and then we got to go.
I think we just really easily solve the whole problem. I think everybody should just get saved and live by their conscience.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, let's say, though, that just like God had to in the Old Testament, obviously living by your conscience does not work if you're not saved. So there has to be some laws in the meantime to, you know, maybe not kill each other along the way and not rob each other. That's why there's the law. Living by the design of their hearts did not work in the time of the judges, so the law had to come.
Mm-hmm.
Same way people are unsaved and they cannot live by their conscience because their conscience is twisted, we have to have our laws of the government to stop us from killing each other in the meantime. So it has to be some sort of level of law, but I think there should be err more on the side of freedom, obviously. You know, if someone goes to an abortion clinic for an abortion, that's obvious intent. But if it's questionable, leave it a question and let God judge.
Well, I feel like there was a lot of meat on the bone here, and we can definitely have more time for discussion as we go forward. We're out of time today. Maybe next week, we'll see how the Lord leads. I just really felt like this was where the Lord was leading today, and I wasn't going to pass up I wasn't going to be resistant to that. If the Lord leads next week to open up discussion on this, I would love it, but we'll see where the Lord leads. But think on what you've heard today and consider it. Brother Kyle, would you dismiss us in prayer?
Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for our time together. Help us be knit together in love, Lord, as your word says. Help us just understand and to love one another and just be able to have the same mind and heart, Lord, and be able to just draw close to your scripture and draw close to you, Lord, and so we can live by our conscience and live with the knowledge that you give us, Lord. Help us to just be in your word, Lord, and just be ready to answer, especially in these times, Lord, when so many things are drawn into question. Give us knowledge and wisdom, Lord, and help us to know exactly the questions to ask. And as your word says, if we ask for it, you'll give it to us. And I pray just be with us today as we sing and as we listen to preach, Lord, and help us to just get what we need from your scripture. I thank you for us being able to assemble here to listen.